This is KWAI, Honolulu, 1080 on the AM dial.
Oh, sometimes I get a good feeling, yeah. Yeah. I get a feeling that I never, 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 never had before, no, no. Yeah. I just want to tell you right now that, I believe, I really do believe that something's got a hold on me here.
Oh, I must be love.
Oh, something's got a hold on me right now, child.
Oh, I must be love.
Let me tell you now, I've got a feeling, I feel so strange. Everything about me seems to have changed. Step by step, I got a brand new.
It's time for the Carol Cox Show on K108, heard every Sunday from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. If you have questions for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Carol Cox Show. Another day, another beautiful day, and caught some rain coming in from the other side. But looking out on the poly and reminds me we're still here and just love it. That was Miss Etta James. You know, we lost her this year. She passed. And but anytime that music, and I play that and I'll probably play a few more. A friend of gave me that for a Christmas present, and that was my Santa. And anyway, hope that it lifts you up too, and you probably, what an abrupt change, and just someone wake up screaming in the ear. What I want to do is talk about some things that, and I must offer a disclaimer or an invitation to call in and take issue with what I say. And but 524-1080, don't hesitate to call. I won't be offended, and you might be offended by some of these things that I'll say today, but. It's not that bad. You can handle it. But this issue on gun control, these issues, I should say, gun control, homelessness, and what have you. You know my opinion of them. But about 2 weeks ago, I think I spoke about gun control and talked about various incidents. And I'm living history to say to you that I'm a little concerned, and these are my perspectives, these are my experiences, and some of you have never lived across the track, and some of you never lived in a world that we call in the black world or the black community, where shootings occur quite often. Chicago, they're reporting now, I said 400 about 2 weeks ago, 500. And it was quite often by professionals and all parties involved, it was black-on-black crime. And so it didn't, the thermometer didn't rise around the world. As long as it stayed across the tracks or contained within the black community or the Hispanic community or the Latinos, it was okay, apparently, for them to kill themselves. But that's just a very small nugget of what we really are facing with. Some of us talk about the Second Amendment, it's your right to bear arms and what have you. But in Mississippi, guns, there are two things that rules, that set the rules, I should say, or set the tone of how you're to operate in life. One is the Bible, the other is a gun. And there are other states, too. You go to Texas and what have you. And it was quite commonplace. I mean, just it would be like looking to the sky and expecting to see the sun. It was a natural occurrence that you would see the whites would drive around. This is not in hunting season or deer hunting season. And they'd have big trucks, and they'd have their guns displayed on the rear of the truck, windows of the truck, in a gun rack. This was commonplace. I mean, it was, as I say, you would find, like you would look at the markings on a truck to tell if it was made by Chevrolet or Buick or whatever, you would see a gun. And so my background, and I'll share with you when we talk about gun control and gun violence and what have you, there's always been that atmosphere. So when we see the reaction that we see in Newton and Virginia and those areas, someone asks, well, why don't you get excited about that? I mean, well, I'm so numb to it that when I travel to Indiana to visit my relatives or travel to any of the bigger cities, I'm extremely concerned because of the violence. But again, it seems to have been no real concern. We know that the federal government, the United States government, participated in bringing drugs into the communities to fund and to fund the rebels or whatever you call it in other countries. And these inner cities, and again, now all of a sudden, there's a nightmare that have come to reality. We as citizens must now start to hold our government and ask our government to refrain from these practices. Then gun control, there are many, many issues. What triggers this? We're not willing to... I'm concerned with gun control in a sense that, and I believe there is a problem with guns and guns being on the street. It's a reality. I'm not debating that. But the reality is that there are some scary things in this whole fabric that we talk about of gun control and the violence associated with guns. I would be willing to give up my guns if I saw a move afoot from all agencies to assure me. Let's just start from scratch. Today, in the old days, if you call a policeman, they would arrive, someone broke in your house, and they go through the whole room. If it was necessary to do fingerprints and what have you, and you'd get some reaction, you'd get some action. Today, you call a policeman, you might get a police report, and you might get something to direct you to call. But once you call, they don't bother to do fingerprints or anything like that. And then you might hear, well, it was the amount that was taken doesn't constitute a qualify for. So that victim or that person, excuse me, that person is standing there like myself and saying, well, I could have protected myself if this is the way it's going to happen. And in some instances, you lose your property, it's never recovered, or you never recover it. And then on some occasions, you go to some of the police auctions and what have you, and you'll find some of your property there. So this whole process, it's failing there. So if we had an assurance that if I were to give guns up, and I don't have any, but in the old days I was gun happy, you know, just can't tell you the hunting, as I've shared with you, where I believe that go hunting, you know, it was just gunplay was part of the day. I'm glad I grew out of that, but I worry of the transition that we want to do so fast, so quick, and who is going to have the guns? What you're going to see is in the inner cities, they're still going to get guns. Whether they migrate out to the suburban areas and rob or break in the stores and rob, steal the guns, there are going to be guns on the street. So leaving the common citizen, the average citizen, and these are just a few now. I know there are many other aspects of this that you probably would like to offer or insight, but we're rushing, and we're trying to characterize it between the NRA and the Liberal Party or the Democratic Party. No, there are citizens here that are being left exposed through this process. What about changing this process? I'd be eager to give up and agree to no guns if I would be assured that the policeman, let's not see a secret society where if they are under investigation, no one can talk about it. There are conditions that you won't know about it. You can't ask questions because it's their private rights. So if we were to clear up all of those things, then get great assurances that the police chiefs, the city councils, the senators would all agree that everything is on the table, then maybe we can start sensibly and approach it and give it some viable consideration. But the spur of the moment, oh my God, it's horrible. It is the most horrendous thing that I've witnessed is that shooting in Newton. I'm just going to tell you. Just hearing that, I just turned the TV off because it's painful that this thing repeats itself, this monster pops up, and immediately gun control. But I'm going to share with you locally here, and I don't believe in talking in theories and abstracts and what have you. I just don't like to join into debates and arguments, but I want to share with you something that I think, and if it's offensive, you let me know, and then we can deal with it. But I told you last week and the week before about an incident on the Big Island where there's an officer that works for the Department of Land and Natural Resources. And this officer, apparently the concerns is that it was either suicide or it was... we don't know. It's under investigation. So I shared with you that I inquired through Mr. Island. Now, remember, the Department of Land and Natural Resources is a state agency headed by William Isla. The Department of Land and Natural Resources has a division or a branch called the Department of Conservation and Resource Enforcement. And in there, and I'm just using this as an example to share with you that when the the real quick shoot from the hip liberals start to speak, or the passive Republicans bite into it and start, oh yeah, we need to do something. Let's step back for a moment, and I offer this scenario to share with you as part of your decision as you go on with dealing with this issue. So the Department of Land and Natural Resources has the DOCARE. Now, these are fully authorized. They are recognized as law enforcement. They carry Glock semi-automatic weapons. I don't know if they've been certified to carry the fully automatic weapons. The difference is you have to pull the trigger each time you shoot on the semi. But the fully, you just hold the trigger and let it roll, right? I don't know, but I do know that a number of them have assault weapons. And they routinely carry them and they routinely shoot them. But they're issued a Glock 40 caliber. It was a standard weapon that and some changes may have been done. But you also know that I've told you about the numerous assault rifles that were purchased for DLNR DOCARE officers. And they're just sitting up in Manana now in a fashion that is not secured. So, once again, if you look at it this way, it's another source for the criminally intent to go there and steal them because they're not secure. But in this situation that occurred on the Big Island, now I've inquired. We've not heard an official statement from DLNR Chairman William Isla. We've not heard an official statement from Randy Awo, who is the law enforcement chief. Nothing. But I've inquired, and I contacted Isla and sent him questions, and I think I shared with you, and you can find those questions as well, or these questions, on carolcox.com. I was going to share this with you anyway, but the greater details is just to say that gun control, we shouldn't just use a small net to address it. We should use the largest net there is and take all things that may influence or may be impacted, or sources of guns, or speak to the whole thing of gun violence. So I have sent Isla these questions, and he refused to answer them. Now, mind you, I'll respect the personal aspect of it, but as a fully fledged law enforcement entity, agency, I think we have a right to know the basics, if nothing else, you know, not violating the rights or the impeding the investigation or what have you. But the information is that, and I'll read specifically my second letter to William Isla. I'm trying to remain respectful to the sensitive nature of this incident. However, this is a serious event involving a public servant. If DOCARE is a legitimate law enforcement agency, it stands to reason that you would provide some basic initial information to be more available to the public upon request. This is critical so that misinformation does not spread throughout the Coconut Wireless. The proper thing to do would be to have your PIO public information officer, make an official statement in collaboration with the HPD, the Hawaii Police Department, and provide us with the basic facts that do not compromise the investigation and are not sensitive with regards to the officer's family. I remind you that DOCARE officers serve in a public place, a public safety and public trust position. We, the public, deserve more from DLNR than just a hot potato toss to another law enforcement agency conducting the investigation. What is DLNR's DOCARE's official statement on this matter? Now, tossing of the potato, I write Isla, who this gentleman works for, that is deceased now, and instead of giving me basic answers, he just simply tossed me to the Hawaii Police Department, and they in turn told me that it's still under investigation, so nothing can be had or told. So again, that then raises the bigger issues consistent with what I'm saying about this jumping to control, if to the conclusion that we need gun control, when there are a lot of factors that we're not incorporating in this approach to controlling guns. I would like the following questions officially answered by you, Mr. Island. This is, I'm just going to read briefly. I understand that the incident and alleged death involving Hawaii branch DOCARE officer is being investigated by HPD. However, is the DLNR or the DOCARE conducting an internal investigation as well? Now, you would think he could tell us about that because we want to know, are we safe? There are other officers out there. And I will tell you why my concerns are heightened here is that some of the officers are ex-HPD officers, Honolulu Police Department, and I've talked about it a couple of years back, where they were actually addicted to drugs and were let go in a gentleman's way so that they can go and gravitate to the Department of Land and Natural Resources, DOCARE. I mean, guys that were fully addicted to drugs and in violation and what have you, and illicit and illegal drugs. You've had some that have been investigated for drug running in the past were actually investigated thoroughly, and some of them were punished for various illegal activities. Some were even accused of rape. Now, mind you, what does that have to do with gun control? Well, when we turn to the public and say, give up all of your guns and we get to keep ours, and we're speaking in the sense of for the sake of the entire community. We're not just talking about getting the guns out of the teenagers who shoot one another. Any situation can develop, whether it's an adult, depending on the stability of that person, the availability, and what motivates them. We don't know. It's unpredictable. Things could flare up in a moment. So what about the AG's office? Are they investigating? Did the incident occur on state-owned property as alleged? If so, what is your normal investigative protocol to something like this? Did this incident occur while the officer was on or off duty? Did the incident involve the officer's service-issued weapon? What type of psychological evaluations and screening is performed at the initial hire of a DOCARE officer? And this is me writing this letter. My sources tell me none. Is this true? These are the basic questions that I wanted to ask of the illustrious William Isla, who heads the DLNR, or Department of Lands and Natural Resources. But no answers. What type of annual, semi-annual, or semi-annual medical screening is performed on DOCARE officers? My sources tell me none. And I'm asking again, is it true? What type of critical incident stress management services such as counseling, debriefing, and peer support are available to DOCARE officers exposed to a stressful traumatic event? My sources tell me there is none, or there are none. This is an extremely substandard practice for any law enforcement agency if this is actually true. Now, mind you, I skirted the issue of dealing with the officer who shot himself in these questions, but asking Mr. Isla to ensure us of the agency stance and the agency's treatment of these things, nothing to do with that specific incident. So imagine the reluctancy or the refusal to answer, and yet there is this debate or hurry by law enforcement and others to say, oh, we need gun control. Well, let's start gun control. Let's start looking at the officers at work. Don't hop across the table to get to the public and demand that they give up their guns while you steal out to lunch and refuse to even have comment. That's where the distrust, that's where I have a difficult time in saying, yeah, go ahead and give up your guns. And as it relates to the Second Amendment and having a militia, who were they thinking about? any person, any agency can become tyrannical and turn on the community. You go to Louisiana, there was a complete festation of illegal activities and illegal characters within the police department. And still, there are still some in many other places around the nation. And to include here. But does DoCare have a critical, and I'm asking, does the DoCare have an internal affairs policy and procedure in place? My sources tell me no. So, again, what does that have to do with the national issue of gun control? Well, it has a lot to do with it because these situations repeat themselves. And when we can't get the basic information disseminated and we're spoken to as if we live in a vacuum, and as long as they don't talk about these things. Now imagine, whatever it was, if this gentleman committed suicide, I'm told it was on state property in state. Mr. Isla refused to answer anything, so I'm going on those things that I've asked him, and he refused to give any answers. So my concern, if some of you know, please call up and share with me. We'd be happy to hear it. But imagine, what if that officer goes unmonitored, or many of the officers in the rank and file are not monitored, and they find themselves willing to, if this is true, to kill themselves? What's to stop him or her from training that gun, just decide, well, I'm going to go out with a bang like the fools do in Virginia and the other places. I'm not just going to go quietly into the night, and I'm going to leave my mark, a skill, train man with a gun who goes and practices. And instead of shooting himself in some dank state office, he goes to the mall, he goes to the park where he's trusted, and all of those things. And yet the agencies that he worked for, or they work for, go undetected or unchecked or unmonitored or not screened. What do you say? How does that work? So when we talk about gun control, I don't want to get into the smaller bits and pieces of it. I offer this to say to you that when people standing at the pulpit are preaching that, yes, we think it should happen and we should do these things, let's stop for a moment and not rush. I don't want to see anyone with a gun. I don't want to get shot with a gun, and I don't want anyone else subjected to this violence. But I also know that when you strip yourself of all defenses, and it's not a debate whether we should have a militia, government can and is bad. It just depends. We don't have the checks and balances. If today we have tyrants running our state and county offices and city offices, doing many things illegal, you catch them, nothing happens. So what's to stop them kicking it up one notch and start to train their guns on us and demand of the thing? If you don't think it's possible, it has happened in other places. So I'm not saying that we need weapons to guard ourselves against policemen or what have you, but the bigger question is, there must be a danger out there that is unpredictable. There must be elements out there that we can't contain or control. So if the police department want us, or the police agencies want us to give up our guns, I say our, I don't have any, but our guns, but the citizens to give up their guns, here's the deal. What are they keeping their guns for? Because if all crime, and are they going to assure us that if someone's at our door or window, or we walk in the house and there they are, they're going to be there immediately? Or are we going to be told, well, we'll be there as soon as we can send an officer? And in some instances, I've spoken to people here just locally, calling a policeman, you don't get an immediate response. you see. The situation where I talked to you about 2 weeks ago, the two people that have restraining orders on them, there's two or four, actually, and the house was shot up. Now, I've checked and don't find any arrest records, but I look on the Facebook of one of the individuals that had a TRO out on him, that successfully was, had the TRO, had on his Facebook an AR-15 assault rifle with two 10-round clips and then two 30-round magazines. Now, I'm not going to question the police department and what they do, but being that we are talking about gun control, let me see if this makes sense to you, because it frightens me. You have an individual who is accused and have been identified as being one of two people shooting into her home, into her house, while people standing around and they're occupying the house. And he's identified. And yet, the same person, I don't know now, maybe they have some trickery or some strategy in the investigative posturing that they don't want to arrest him publicly or what have you. But again, this person, and it took days for them to seize the assault rifle. I have pictures of the assault rifle and that were on the page. And this person is reportedly involved in gang-related activity. Yet, so I offer that not as a criticism to any agency or anything, but just to say, let's look at the realistic part of this. Oh, we need to take the guns off the streets. Well, the people that are criminally intent with the criminal mind and live daily to become criminals or impressed by criminals, they're not going to hear that same message. Apparently, historically, they haven't. Whether it was booze, when they made the law illegal to have booze, then you had the speakeasies. And you had the Al Capones. So, you know, in a dark, wet room, mold grows. In a climate where there's defenseless people and underpaid policemen, no policemen, understaffed or shortage of police powers. What are we leaving ourselves to? I will tell you, going around with a bottle of mace to protect yourself is probably what is ludicrous, is going to suggest that that's what you do. But I offer all of that to you to say that gun control, be careful. I personally hate the whole thought. I think the penalty should be stiffer. If you're caught with a gun and committing a violent act, and you're caught with a gun illegally or whatever, then I would say to you that we need to enhance our laws. We need to empty our jail cells and our containment of these prisoners, the ones that were caught with the crack pack, the ones that were caught with marijuana, that were selling marijuana, all of these things. And let's go and empty that in trade places, see. Let's call it the Trading Place Act, where if you get caught with a gun and you committing an illegal act with a gun, it's deadly force, it's illegal, you going downtown for a long time. These are how you fight this. Because if there's a person who wants to commit an atrocity against citizens like you and I, they'll come up with a way of doing it. It's that we need to discourage it. But when you have state agencies, and I just use this as an example now, as DLNR and DOCARE, I mean, I could go back and bring up many, but because this is an active one, and the refusal on the part of Mr. Isla to share anything about this, and mind you, you don't want to be offensive to the family, but there's a reality here that we as a community, as taxpayers, have a right to know what's going on or what went on, and then we have a right to know that you're not just going to sit there and just go into a stupor mode of doing nothing because you're like a deer in headlights. You don't know what to do, and you won't seek any training or treatment, or you won't consult with psychologists, or you won't do anything, and you just hope that it blows away. And in fact, when that incident happened with involving DLNR officer, I'm told that the branch managers and some of the management were here from other islands, and even some of them weren't told. So you would think that it would be quickly, guys, at minimum, he had friends in the department, so we want to make sure that they are taken care of or counsel or get some grief counseling or something. But we didn't see that. Or I'm told nothing. So this is a thumbs down for the illustrious William Isler. I mean, you got to do better. And this goes back to that old argument that I raised. When you pick and choose your brothers to run the agency and work under you without following the proper protocol and selection and recruitment and reaching out for professionals, this is the kind of behavior you get. You get something that blows up in your face, and then you run around and try to hide it, but you forgot that it was a flower that blew up on you, and so you're all white in the face, and people are going to ask, why are you so pale today? Oh, I can't tell you. We can't talk about it. Or do you work at a donut shop? You know, or are you a painter? Or was there an accident with painting or something? Because, Mr. Isler, you have your face is white. Well, it's the same thing. When you ask, it's out there. The incident did occur, and the HPD, the Hawaii Police Department, sent me back an email saying, yes, the incident is under investigation, but we can't say anything. And I understand. They figured if DLNR don't want to tell me anything and send me to them, why should they take the risk of violating any policy or any law or privacy or be dragged into a lawsuit? But the primary agency refused. So, again, why is this important? An officer armed and has ability to drive around with an assault weapon and other weapons and an issued Glock 40 semi-automatic pistol. Trained and skilled marksman. So no one's alarmed. You haven't heard about it. Yeah, I know people commit suicide, but again, I know the media have a tendency of not covering suicides, but I think this one should show up on the radar because it's supposedly in a state office. It's a state officer with state equipment, and what assurances that there are others out there that are just borderline, are dealing, haven't dealt with stress properly, or on the verge of getting a divorce, or see it all going up in smoke. And you know, how many of these officers have been relieved in DoCare, for example, have been relieved of their police authority? That means you've done something, you've had spousal abuse, beaten on someone, or acting illegally or unethically. How many in that office does this happen? So the question is, why aren't we seeing reports such as that? I don't recall seeing a single report being generated over the years by the Department of Land and Natural Resources, DOCARE. Now, I know it kind of slips by because these are guys that go out and supposedly protect Bambi and pet the turtles and make sure that the sharks stay away from the turtles and only eat one a week or something of that nature. And, you know, and show up holding a bird and you think, ooh, that's beautiful. But the reality is these are fully fledged law enforcement armed to the teeth that could, the lights could go on and blink and flicker and you lose them mentally. And the administrator, and I'm using this as an example, I can assure you I've seen it in other states, in other agencies that I've dealt with, And you have some people that are really borderline mentally, certifiably mentally ill. But if they're able to get in their truck and see, and the why I'm concerned and sharing with you about the Department of Land and Natural Resources is they tend to work alone. They tend to go out, whereas at least in the mornings of Honolulu Police Department, there is an assembly of they're looked at. You know, they have an assembly in the mornings, or at least on occasion, where they assemble, roll call, and what have you, and get their orders for the day. But in DLNR, you may not see one of them for, gosh, weeks. And or they may go to their branch chief office or the field manager's office and meet with him, but it's not an assessment of their mental status and their annual assessment. I'm told that the basic qualifications of a conservation officer and when it comes to physical aspects, physical or mental, they have to swim 200 yards or something, and if I'm wrong, it's some distance, and be able to hike a mile or up a mountain or something. It's involved, and that's the extent of it. Now, I could be a little inaccurate on that, but it's not much on the numbers. But the mental profiling and the mental assessment, and it's for the good of the officer as well and the good of that family that the officer has, because in law enforcement, it is stressful. Trust you me, it is stressful. So you can't just leave it out there. So when we look at this, again, I know it was amazing. Someone sent me a on Facebook, I think a Robin Nelson. I mentioned about gun, and immediately, bam, you know, she was telling me how I should support and why it's good to have gun control. And I don't disagree, but I do have great concerns that while rushing to address this, let's take our time and walk carefully and make an assessment and remind ourselves that we have an obligation morally to explain why is it that 500 people in the inner cities can shoot themselves up and look like sieves or water sprinklers, and yet nobody gets upset. And I'm not playing the black card, so if any of you want to go there, you know where you can go with that. But the reality is you have to ask yourselves, what triggers gun control? What factors? Is it race? Is it finances? Has it gotten too close to home? As long as the blacks and the Latinos are doing it to themselves, hey, someone sent a stupid email saying, well, I think if they're doing that, that's a good start. No, that's a very bad start on your part. So this is, as I say, it might be offensive to some of you, but I've been there in law enforcement. I know I've seen guys in law enforcement. I can tell you many of them have had mental situations. I've seen them do things that will absolutely frighten you. And way back when I was an officer in California, I had the occasion to work with a federal officer. And he sat and talked about how he would put a gun to his girlfriend's head and he thought it was a joke because she was cheating on him. Now imagine, just to even speak in those terms, how did he get to do this? And you don't hear cases where I know specifically I had a supervisor whose daughter, 14 years old, took her weapon, took his service revolver, and shot herself. So let's not be so quick to run and give ourselves up and I don't mean to defend guns. I just want to say to you that be very careful when you run out there because of one incident or two incidents that you found to be shocking, but it was on the nightly news. Well, that brings a whole different show. That it usually don't show up on the nightly news when there's black, quote, black on black crime. It just don't make the evening news. It won't be televised, as one of the artists said, Gil Scott Heron said, the revolution won't be televised. Well, it's not a revolution. It's an evolution, and there is violence. I mean, when we talk about guns and what have you. Good morning, caller. You have a comment, a question?
Yeah. Hi, Carol. I'll hang up and listen to your comments. But what do you think about the argument of folks saying that they need to be armed against a tyrant government? So that, if things really get out of hand with government, we need all these arms and of course, a lot of folks say that that's the reason the whole constitutional Second Amendment is for in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
So I just lay back and listen to your comments on that. You bring up some really good issues on all sides, you know. I mean, the police side, too. I didn't realize how important that is, too, because, you know, I mean, they talk about tyrants, and police can be tyrants, too.
Well, yeah, I mean, I just tell you, the same people that's going to make these decisions and legislate, our legislators found that the conservation officers were underfunded and unarmed or underarmed. You're right. And so they gave monies and they authorized the purchase of assault rifles. Yet these assault rifles are just laying away rusted and they weren't trained and they have no psychological. So they knowingly handed out assault rifles. Our state legislators funded them to an entity that don't even have a medical examination for mental frailty.
Oh, yeah. And of course, yeah, they can be the tyrants too. I mean, they can.
if we knew what they look like and knew what they smell like and knew what they act like, we could identify them and we could control all of these crazy incidences of violence, right?
But
we can't. It's various, and they just lie there, breathing and incubating, and eventually they flare up. Well, once they flare up, now there's a reason to hide it and control it and conceal it and declare, well, it's under investigation and we won't have any comment.
You know, under the Constitution, I mean, if I read that right, it says some to the effect, I don't have it with me right now, but that a militia, a regulated militia, would have bare arms, and it doesn't sound like everybody can just have an arm willy nilly, you know. Too, I don't know. It's a very complicated issue, and of course you got a lot of different interests that want to keep things going wherever they want them to keep them going.
Well, yeah, they again the history of gunplay you know, let's look at something where we tend not to go here in America because we're a colorblind society, right? Everything's fantastic now, kumbaya on race, right? And we've settled all our problems. But let's digress a bit. Should we be shocked that we have such violence when I, as a kid, grew up? Let me just share with you.
Oh, yeah.
I used to watch Rawhide. I used to watch Rat Patrol. I used on TV. And here's the way it plays out. And then we're shocked now that later there's danger in these hands of kids and others with guns.
Oh, yeah.
So on the show Rat Patrol, every week, Vic Namora, or whatever his name, was there blasting away, shooting Germans, as they quote, Krauts, or what have you, right?
Oh, yeah.
And wow, that was the thing to do, right?
Yeah, that was the way to solve the problem, you know,
right?
Shoot them down.
Right, and then there was Clint Eastwood and others shooting down the native people, the Indians. Oh, they got them corralled and pow, pow, pow.
Oh,
right?
Yeah, cowboys and Indians.
Oh, well, not just cowboys and Indians, cowboys and savages, as they put it.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Okay. And then now we're looking at here all of a sudden, oh, my God, they're killing, we're using guns. And then we haven't even gotten past where every Tom, Dick, and Harry that is a movie star, there was either a lollipop and a gun or a bald head or someone came in and the end was Marshall Dillon, Matt Dillon, right? Gunsmoke. How did they solve their problems? Generally, 90% of the episodes ended in pow-pow. Right?
Oh, yeah.
And now all of a sudden, this culture that we talk about, we found it as entertainment, right? And then we made our kids games.
Oh.
Right?
Terrible.
Cut the head off and see the head roll down and bleed. And then all of a sudden, we're biting our nails going, oh, my God, we need to take away the rights of everybody because we were stupid in the whole process.
Well, it's taking down the sensitivity. The humanness. I mean, the human aspect is all.
When you dehumanize human beings, when you sit them there and you let them entertain themselves by shooting hundreds of people with a flick of the thumb,
they can just. I mean, the thing is, on these videos, they actually come back to life 10 minutes later.
Yeah.
Even though but in real life, it doesn't work that way.
Yeah. Well,
you shoot them dead, and they're dead forever.
Well, always remember, brother. In most of your movies, the black guy was the first guy to die. Just remember that.
Yes,
so now all of a sudden, where did that come from? Like I tell you, I've said up front, the disclaimer is that if I say something that you might find offensive, it's fine with me, but that's the reality in my life. I can't present it any other fashion.
Oh,
right?
Yeah. So, like you said, there in Chicago, I mean, it's 500 this year of folks who have been assassinated, I guess you could say, have been killed. Are dead.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's just a little number compared. I mean, that's a whole lot of people compared to the shooting there in Connecticut.
If it's not guns, it'll be some people with knives. It'll be some stupid act. So my suggestion in all this, and I'm going to go away for the next hour, my suggestion is that we address the people issue first and try to control that and make available mental health, mental assessment, and try to incorporate and stop disenfranchising people and not look at us and them and stop talking about you don't want welfare and all. Yeah, well, okay, welfare is not a meaning of well-being. So anyway, we'll be back in the next hour, and feel free to call back. All righty?
Very, very interesting discussion. Yeah.
Thank you. Aloha.
You say you do. You see, baby, I've been thinking about it, yeah. And I've been wanting to get next to you, baby. You see, sometimes I fool my arms, I say, ooh, oh, oh, baby.
Stay tuned for the second half of the Carol Cox Show right after the news on KWAI Honolulu, K108.
This is KWAI Honolulu, 1080 on the AM dial.
It's time for the Carol Cox Show on K108, heard every Sunday from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. If you have questions for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080.
Okay, good morning again. Welcome back to the Carol Cox Show. I hope that any of you out there, I'd like to hear from you. We've been chatting for the whole year in the 2012 and the feel free to give a call, and I'm just going to toss things around. Good morning, caller. You have a comment or question?
Carol, I'd just like to say, nice music. I never heard these songs. They're really good.
You like that?
Yeah, thank you.
Well,
okay, thanks. Bye-bye.
All righty, aloha. Well, we'll either please or tease you here. But anyway, thanks, caller. The intent is to take some of the edge off, because I tend not to get engaged with, because people will tell you, you know, they throw in the Second Amendment and this. And these are real issues in a world where we have cases of proven cases of police brutality. We don't have to wait until the tyrants appear. We can be reminded. So I offer all of this as it relates to gun control, just as little nuggets that you, in forming your opinion or as you are approached by legislators, that willing to do our part in giving up weapons or anything that form of protection or dismantling the, quote, militia. But here's the problem. We need commitment from the government entities as legislators, employees, and all of those parties involved to give us good government, to give us an ethical government. And so it's as if this pendulum is swinging, and they're saying the scales are imbalanced because we, the law enforcement people, have less. And I'm thinking, wait, this was a nut, a fruitcake like the others, have gone into a place that was not defended and shot up the place and killed people. And now we've gotten to the point of, well, we need to control weapons, and there, you know, it's like something's wrong with this picture. Because, again, if that was a bona fide approach and not just an intent to strip us of weapons as defenses, as militias or as civilians or citizens, why weren't they aggressive about this? Was this potato so hot that our own native son couldn't raise the issue? He's from Chicago. He knows how many blacks were being killed amongst himself. He's not blind. So all of a sudden, there's this aggressive approach. And I hate to digress and say and belittle this issue and say that it's about race when it happens in a nice, quiet town. It's okay, it's something to get worried about. And then it just blossoms into, oh, it becomes politically sensitive. It becomes an issue of in a debate about the Constitution and what have you. When Jerome and Jamal and Jamel and JoJo and Wee Wee was shooting one another, nothing happened. When the average family in the inner cities at any given time having to hit the floor, what about the little black kids, the little Latinos that have been shot in the drive-by shootings when it was intended for? Where was the media? Where was the policeman? So, again, folks, because this is America, and these are American thoughts now. These are not backwood thoughts that I'm presenting to you. These are thoughts that I've sat there many times, pondered, and it's enough to cause you to become insensitive or numb because it just doesn't make sense. On one hand, you hear bells, whistles, and sirens, and the cry to take away all weapons, and yet the average person in the inner city lives in pain and misery and in threats daily, you see. And so it is not all about government. And I would offer to some of you young parents out there and some of you parents who just don't want to own up to your little evil sick children. But I'll share something with you that maybe it might help and it may not. It may just piss you off. Who knows? But this is the way it goes. When Jerome comes home or Chemo comes home and or Kala shows up at home with a gold chain around his neck and some fancy Nikes and a cool little shirt with a gold dragon plastered on it and a big earring with a diamond stud. And Jerome ain't got no job, or Kala ain't got a job, and never hit a lick at a snake ever in his life, wouldn't know how to go put in an application. And he shows up with this, and you know you're on a fixed income and you're on welfare or aid. You need to have a conversation with Jerome, Jamal, Jamel, JoJo, Wee Wee. You need to say, and a talk with yourself, and say that something's wrong here. Don't wait until the government come and drag his butt away in handcuffs, and then you start to scream that these handcuffs are too tight for him. Well, they don't make handcuffs to serve as jewelry. They make them to incarcerate you. That's the first step. So parents, you young folk out there, that think it's cool to see Jamal, Jamel, Kala, or Frankie, or whatever, show up and looking cool and driving a real shiny car but got no job. That's not about gun control. That's about out of control. That means the parent and the children are out of control. So on one hand, I sympathize with you having to live in a violent climate and being ignored, but a portion of this can be attributed to your poor parenting skills or your lack of surveillance or just whatever. I don't know all of the technical, the scientific terms, but you need to step up to the plate. You had him. You raise him. It's not ours. But if where we can help, that's fine. Where we can, as a community, give. But you're the one who has constant responsibility and vigilance on this child who is 14 or 15 and looking cool and can't explain where he got this big, thick chain. They don't just give him away today. In the old days, they used to give you a chain. You'd be happy to hand you out a chain, but it was a different kind of chain. But today, it's a different kind of enslavement. We're caught up into these things. So if you have a 14 or 15-year-old son or girl, and they're showing up, and there's one other point. So when I'm quite often hearing that, oh, my son was being framed, and my son, they're treating him bad because he's black or he's a minority. Well, can you give me a little more information? Yeah, well, see, what happened was he was out there the other night. They arrested him, and he was just riding. And he didn't have nothing to do with it. He was just with his friends, Bobo and Lolo and whatever. And one of them, and so the police stopped him. Okay. And they arrested him, and they just talking to him because he's black or minority. Oh, really? Okay. So can you give me a little more details? Okay. What time was this? Okay. It was 2 o'clock in the morning. How old is Bobo? Oh, he's 14. He's going to be 15 next week. Really? So let me get this right now. Bobo and JoJo and Lolo is out there at 1:30, 2 o'clock in the morning. And so whose car was this? Oh, they say it was a stolen car. But my son wouldn't have anything to do with that. The other boy was driving. But they say my son was the oldest one in the group, so they're going to take him. So I have to ask the parent then, well, if Bobo and JoJo and Lolo were out there at 1:30 in the morning, 2 o'clock in the morning, how old is he? Does he have a job? Was he coming from work? And the car was stolen? Really? Oh, okay. And so who are these kids that he hang out with? Were they ever involved in any other trouble? Well, kind of. Well, what do you mean? Well, another time they arrested Bobo, JoJo, and Lolo on something else. Oh, really? So what you're doing, ma'am, is raising a crook or criminal, and you want the world to come and convene a session and a sympathy session for you and listen to your story. And then project that it's an abuse of powers. So, again, what does that have to do with anything? It has a lot to do with all things in that in doing so, if they'll steal a car, they'll steal a gun. If they'll commit a felony or a crime such as that, stealing from others, they'll sell drugs. If they're selling drugs, that's going to accompany violence. It's going to accompany criminal behavior. So this nest that they rise from, whether it's the housing or a private house, wherever they come from, you the parent. And this has nothing to do with the individual that pulled the trigger there in Newton, but I'm talking about the whole process. If we're going to talk gun control and all of that and talk about Second Amendment, yes, but there are a lot of other things along the way that some of us won't ever talk about because there are some people who are concerned, but they figure if they go there, quote, go there, they'll be perceived as a racist or insensitive. to just call it what it is. But I can assure you the police officer have their hands full just dealing with the fruitcakes in life, period. And then you got this cadre or culture or population of young thugs who's able to freely sleep during the day, miss school during the day, and then rise at night and go and find ways to get gold chains and get stolen cars. And when they take the cars and hawk them and sell them or chop them, and that brings in money. So, again, they don't do this just wearing white gloves. They're inclined to carry a gun with them. And so you have them dealing drugs, and you have turf wars amongst themselves, and you just have the stupid act of pulling guns and shooting one another because the war. Some of you may recall in the old days where it was a problem if you wore a jacket, they'd shoot you and take your jacket. This was going on in the city, but some of you may have been immune to that and never experienced it. But the reality is you could have shoestrings in your gym shoes and could get killed for wearing the wrong color gym shoes. These things were in the inner city. Where was the outcry when all of this was occurring? So, again, I say that the responsibility lies with everyone. Whether you are a minority parent, or the term minority, or whether you're a parent who has children, young children, white, black, or green, you need to step up to the plate. If you have a child that is mentally ill, you need to go and plead with the officials or the state or something, or take a legal action to go down and become try to get that person to be a ward of the state or committed or something. But don't just turn your back and throw up your hands and say, I can't manage this. You can, until you drop dead, you should be trying, because potentially any one of these individuals coming from this climate or this environment can flare up, blow up. So this is not a cool subject to talk about 2012, the ending of 2012. I'm just spoiling the party, because what is it? In 2 days, people will be blowing kazoos and dropping the ball and partying up a big time, right? But the reality is, let's brace ourselves until we, as a community, care for others. And until, if we want to stop violence, we need to. I know as hard as it is in a capitalistic society, people should be able to make games the way they want to. You should be able to sit down and hold a button down on a game. Some of you might say it's business and just kill people and blah, blah, blah. But if that is true, then we shouldn't be shocked to know that that person is conditioned. And I offer this one thing in that vein. If you don't think our historical handling and treatment and presentation of killing of people, whether it be the native people, as they call the Indians, or blacks shooting one another in the movies, or shooting the Germans or the Japanese, because, you know, the guy was standing there with the gun and he was shooting and conquering the world, getting even, until we accept that all of that has culminated, and we're at the point now, maybe it's part of that old cesspool that has been brewing, and all of that has come up to this point. If we talk about the violence in total, and so I offer this: if you don't think that is putting it on TV and projecting it on different ages and what have you, then why are we worried that children shouldn't be able to see movies with sex in them, or children shouldn't be able to see movies with profanity in them? If we're worried that watching the sexual acts by adults would have a bad influence on children, shouldn't we think that just wantonly and for entertainment shoot everyone down, gun them down. Remember the old Tarzan movies and that you saw? What happened there? Violence. So the American culture is built on violence. And then the only thing that the big issue now is about the Second Amendment. So what we should do is start looking at asking our legislators, and I don't mean to be having someone sanctioning and sanitizing what it is that we see on TV, because that becomes a dangerous game, also a step where you have government sanctioning or screening or sanitizing or selecting what you can see on TV. But I'm talking about as a community, as a nation, as responsible adults, like the mother who has Bobo, Jojo, and Lolo that is 14, 15 years old, can come and go at nighttime and what have you, will overlay that same concern that we as adults, as American citizens, we have a responsibility to stop buying. We don't need the legislative process to stop buying the killer games. And I know you're going to say, well, they could make copies of them. Well, yeah, but it won't be readily available. It would be just like pornography. It didn't stop it, but we made rules that its distribution, and it did hinder the access that children had. It wasn't just so readily available, but I guess now with the internet, it's just a click of a button. But again, it takes something in this. And we haven't begun to talk about the causes of violence and what have you. And so when you see kids with these things, and now mind you, I know probably some of you think that that was kind of short-sighted or not good for me to talk about Jojo, Lolo, and Bobo. But I will also take that same thing, that same concern, and take it into these suburban areas where the not so many minorities live, but a lot of well-off whites or others that were, and you have a lot and lots of drug use. You have your car shops and the whole works there too. But historically, and I can say this with some confidence, that those communities tend to have a little different approach. When the sheriff or the police picked up Robbie and Jason, and at 1:30 at nighttime, they were doing something bad, drinking or whatever, had some marijuana drugs on them, they'd pick up the phone and call mom and dad, because dad was pretty good high in the community there or whatever, or they just took care of one another. And you didn't see the incarceration rate as you would see in the inner cities. If you think I'm lying, I would offer anyone to challenge me. I can give you instances. But so this is a disparity, and that speaks of disparity. Someone was saying they talk about disparity in Hawaiians in the prisons. It's not that Hawaiians are the only one committing crimes or commit a higher rate of crime. I would say it's equal. It's just that some of them get better treatment because they either are with having a family connection, and they can pick up the phone and call the judge or the police or whatever, and they hold off. So I'm speaking, I know we originally talked about gun control and what have you, but all of these things is what I offer this to say. Be careful when you just rush out and bite into this fake bone of concern that government is talking about with controlling guns. What we need to do is reconvene and start all over again and demanding that, yes, there were some people on welfare that was lazy and didn't want to do anything, and so they cut all the welfare and all, and so you push them out there on the streets. They didn't go away. They're still birthing babies, complicating matters. There are more divorces nowadays, so there's that single white female now that had children 9, 10 that are growing up to be teenagers that sit at home, no oversight, no control. Potentially, either all of them can grow up to be guys that sit and conspire to go into a school and shoot. So it's unfortunate that gun control is the big debate. I want to hear these legislators and the president talk about defusing this, the Bill Clinton, when he invoked this no work, no pay, no or something of that nature, cutting back on the welfare. This is what you do when you act quick and irresponsible as a government entity. You end up developing these situations. And so that's, in my opinion, and is what, in my observation, is what is contributing to the violence. When I grew up, you did something stupid. There was no talk that you were going to get sued for straightening Carol up as a kid. No. Carol was afraid to go home and tell his mother that someone straightened him out in the streets because he would get another butt kicking, you know, and that's the way it is. But today, you touch my child, I'm going to sue you. Or you don't have to sue them. The government will get you for punishing, or you could get a TRO on you. You could get, so everyone, we got children growing on their own. Good morning, caller. You have a comment, a question?
Hi, Carol, again. You know, I think one of the really good points we have to make, too, is the terrible dysfunctional mental health system in America that's been really, has never really gotten to be improved. I mean, you know the deal here, right here in Hawaii. They got sued for, and they had to put hundreds of millions of dollars into reconstructing the mental hospital and everything like that. And the problem is you got the deal is they were supposed to have the you know, be able to be in the community and that kind of stuff, and that's very broken down too. And if you remember when Linda Lingo was governor, they cut $25 million a year more or less on that a very dysfunctional system in the first place, and then it is gotten to be even worse. And then, of course, I mean, just go into any neighborhood and you see folks on the street that are talking to themselves and you know, doing really terrible things, you know. And one of the biggest mental health facilities in this country is the L.A. County Jail, believe it or not. There's, I think it's something like, oh gosh, 5,000 folks or something like that, with mental illness, and no place for them to be, and not getting the kind of help and treatment that they really need, you know. And until we really want to really put the funding, it's really just humane. It's the right thing to do. You do not leave people that are so vulnerable just out to fend for themselves, you know. Mm-hmm. And why? Because they did not ask to be. I mean, they had genetic. They were born with genetic preconceptions of to get mental illness.
Mm-hmm.
And it just outrages me over and over again. And well, we can't afford that. And we just don't. Well, can we not afford it? Is the question. Anyway, just...
Well, it is rather taxing. I mean, no perfect world, right?
No.
No perfect legislation, no perfect act, but we can minimize it when we're true to the cause that we tackle it and all cards on the table.
Oh, yeah.
Whether it's race or welfare, or whether it's mentally, or if it's a system that just, you know, something's wrong.
Well, here's the thing. I mean, why are the like here in Hawaii, the Native Hawaiians, and on the mainland and up Alaska, you got the Native Americans, and why? And of course, and then the other minorities. Why are they on the bottom of the social economic strata, you know? I mean,
well, I'm trying to think now. I distinctly remember somebody say we were lazy. I don't know now. And that we were downtrodden and didn't want anything.
We don't want to work, you know?
I can't speak for them, but somewhere I remember seeing or hearing that.
Well, you know what? It's those welfare moms, you know, and the Cadillacs. When Reagan brought up some of that, they never did. They never found that about gal with $100,000 in welfare and the Cadillac and everything. They never did find her. You know that.
Mm-hmm.
To this day, they're still looking for her.
But you play on the mind of the weaknesses of the community or the population that you want to vote. But see, it come home to roost now, right? These issues.
Oh, yeah. The way, like you were saying about the welfare, you know, that's terrible. I mean, we had a solemn promise, you know, during the Depression when Roosevelt, they aid to families with dependent children. And when I grew up, I remember that. And it saved a lot of folks. I remember a neighbor that... dad died when the kids were still in, like 10 and 12, and mom, they were able to make it, you know, with the aid to the family for dependent children, and they knew they had that security.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now the deal with welfare is it's 5 years for life. If you can't get everything together in 5 years, you're going to be in total squalor. I mean, mm-hmm. I guess you still get maybe a little food stamps or something like that, but you better have that good job so you can pay all your bills, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That was the idea, welfare to work.
Right.
And that you were going to be able to keep that work for the rest of your life, you know. And I don't know.
Are you perplexed or are you just...
I'm just so outraged that these attitudes still go on that people think
America is not a perfect place. I still love it because we can take these instances long as we're true, though. If we continue to deal with it as if it's someone else's problem and it's only our problem when it hit close to home, then we're just moving the ball further away down the court and never really addressing it, taking it and dribbling it and taking it to the hoop. That's the problem.
What America stands for is super, you know. I mean,
of course, this is the best place.
But it's like the great chief said, we talk with forked tongue.
Yeah, well, some say they're waiting to die to go to heaven, and I live in heaven. This is a beautiful place. So, anyway, let me get the other caller. Thank you.
Great. Yeah, have a good day.
Good morning, caller. Good morning, caller. You have a comment or question? Good morning, caller. You have a comment or question? Hello?
Hello, can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Oh, I'm sorry. I guess we cut off some kind of way. Your show is very interesting. And in my opinion, this country is evolving. Our government is corrupt on the municipal, state, federal levels. It's totally corrupt.
Mm-hmm.
They don't really care about the taxpayers. They don't care about what really goes on here. At the same time, you've got the police department and other law enforcement entities, along with the judicial system, that's corrupt and not fair. And at the same time, you've got family structures that are falling apart, whether it's the family structure or in the ghetto that you talked about, where families don't care about what their kids are doing. In the white middle class family structure, they don't sit down and have dinner together. Their kids are on drugs too. The future doctors and lawyers that were basically white don't exist anymore. The Hispanic community is falling apart. This is why I say this country is devolving. we don't have a moral compass. I'm not talking about a religious moral compass, but a secular moral compass. Money, instant gratification, material things, those are the things that are causing, partly, and I'm maybe simplifying it too much, are causing this country to break down. We just don't care about each other. We need, no, I don't want to go all over the place, but say with the gun control, I think this is why people are going out and they're arming themselves to the teeth. Because people have gotten so paranoid that society is breaking down that they feel that when it does break down, they have to be able to arm themselves. So this is why you have, I guess, the so-called, quote-unquote, assault weapons with the huge magazines carrying large numbers of you know, bullets and stuff like that, and all kinds of shotguns, anything you can think of, and people are going that way.
Mm-hmm.
We look at what's happening with what our kids watch on TV. It's gratuitous sex, just violence, you know, or either game shows. We're worried about what the Kardashians are doing. We've got reality shows. I mean, this is what really bothers me, you know, as a person of 69 years old. I can remember when things were not, we didn't have the type of violence that we had, that we have now. And things were bad during the 50s and 60s as far as institutional racism and the Jim Crow laws and the lynchings and stuff like that. But at the same time, people fought to have those things changed. And what's happening is that, again, we've created maybe a society where we just don't really care about each other anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I'm making myself clear, but I just know what are your thoughts on it? And you've already expressed it, I think, earlier in your show.
Well, my thoughts are, I talk in this fashion because I don't hear this kind of representation. What we hear a lot is everybody's being so safe. If it was even the NAACP, they, instead of calling it what it is and speaking out, or the Urban League, there's a tiptoeing, and how are you going to draw conclusions and arrive at a good, healthy decision if you're not telling the truth and putting the real cards on the table? If you remove certain cards out of the deck, then the game is skewed already, right, when you deal them. So everything should be placed on the table. We're not so straight that we can't and shouldn't be able to talk about them. And it's offensive. Race is offensive. Sex is offensive to some people. Religion is. But in order to arrive and make a good decision, healthy one that would avoid the muck in life that we are experiencing, or the bog, we can get around that if we were honest with ourselves. And you know, I can speak it and share it with you in a different format, but I want to speak to the people that they're appealing to, see, because when it comes to gun control, I ask just a common reminder. We live in a democracy. Should the community be considering giving up its rights to a militia when the passing of one senator, we're stuck with a statement of, I think you should appoint this person? And you see, just the fact that anyone in that system would think that they have a right to dictate in a democracy.
Yeah, I believe people have a right to arm themselves.
Right, and so do we want to, and that's just one little manini, and call me up and curse me out and tell me, but this is me. This is Carol Cox. I'm telling you as a citizen what I find to be offensive and what I find for anyone to give consideration. Yes, he was Mr. Daniel Inouye was a great man. We honor him. But, you know, you just, when you leave a party, for example, if I leave a party, I don't go fix myself a plate. And just, well, I'm just going to take all the leftovers. If I took anything, it would be at the generosity or the offering of the party host. Follow?
I understand.
So I was taken aback when someone, and by the way, I personally would love to interview his staff, Boylan, and all those guys, and ask that, you know, if you're on a respirator, how do you talk? If you're hypoxia, how do you talk? I would just be curious to ask. But again, I know some will probably go, how dare he ask those questions and disrespect the senator. No, it's not the senator that I'm disrespecting. I'm asking the questions. Do we want to relinquish total trust? I mean, we had the Mufi Hannemans. He could be back in government tomorrow. We got the Neil Abercrombies. Do we want to follow their lead? And we can't even get them to give us a straight answer on anything. And so they're now trying to undermine and discuss and invoke the discussion of Second Amendment rights and that it applies, it don't apply, and what have you. So I just offer this as just chatter, but it's a little caution that I'm trying to cast to the wind.
Am I still on? Yes. What I wanted to say was, Hawaii is an example. People will find some way to kill each other. I mean, mostly I think a lot of the homicides are done with the knives here, or beating someone to death, or, you know, it's not so much with guns. That's what I see. So gun control is not the answer. People are going to find some way. If they want to be violent or if they're mentally unstable, they're going to find some way to hurt each other. You know, and the knives are just readily available. So whatever's available is what they're going to use.
Yeah.
So anyway, thanks a lot. And that was my comment.
Well, thank you. And
you're welcome.
I appreciate your call.
Sure.
Well, anyway, folks, life can be hard, and I know sometimes we've heard so much chatter on radio and TV and newspapers, and they skirt the issues, and they talk about issues, but they never invoke the human aspect, the heart of it, And like many things historically, unless we say, well, we'll start history from 10 years ago and we don't have to consider all the violence that was portrayed on TV and what have you, you know. And I indelibly in my mind is etched the images of seeing Native people. That would be the scene where the settlers, it was always, this image portrayed. The settlers were coming with their yeast and bread to do good and till the land and migrate and avoid the native the people, the savages, as they quote call them. And I can always remember these images of the guys circling their wagons, and the native people running around in circles on their horses and screaming, and they're being shot. And we saw how dramatic it was. Some would fall, and they wouldn't just fall and slump over. They'd have to, at times, they'd fall right up just inches away from the cute little blonde girls. Or, you know, they always put that image there, right? So you grow up knowing that. And that violence, it's there, folks. Just like a bad song with bad lyrics, it's there. Fought about, it's a funny thing, when rap came out, there were protests and screams, and you can't curse, and we're going to arrest you. But Hollywood never didn't miss a beat when it came to portraying people getting shot, and it could be many of them shot. So, you know, and It was in the Tarzan movies, the same thing. You know, the guys go over there, the big game hunters and what have you, and they go over and they just randomly shoot like a shooting gallery. So I share this with you and say that I don't think gun control has anything to do with it. I think it has something to do with self-control and accepting the responsibility that we have built ourselves this ugly mess. And unless we address it personally and be careful as we approach, it'll continue and probably get worse. Good morning, colleague. Comment, a question?
Good morning, Mr. C. How are you today?
I'm fine. How are you?
Very fine, thank you. I think in this, I've been listening to you for the past, hour and a half, and I think everyone has to remember that you know, guns don't kill people; people kill people.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you're right on, right on. We have this knee-jerk reaction that when a tragedy, believe me, it was a tragedy what happened in Newton, people automatically swing the other way.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the tragedy of this.
Right. Well, okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. And do you know who this is?
I know. This is Jim Bannigan.
Yeah.
How
yeah,
are you?
Call later.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Pleasure hearing from you.
Aloha.
Aloha.
Thanks. Bye.
Well, folks, I know this is a kind of a different show, and I you know, old trash mouth cocks, but let me tell you something. I love this country more than any of you, and I can say that. And I know it's ups and downs, because I'm a product of the ups, and I'm a product of the downs. But what I will tell you, it is un-American for us to bite the bait and trust and listen to anyone and say, let's control the guns. No, let's start cleaning our government agencies, and people probably wouldn't be so pissed off, and they would be trusting, and they would wait and allow decisions and things of that may. That's what we need. You know, today they forced a train down our throats. Yesterday they forced a super ferry down our throats. And they want to take your guns. So guess what? No accountability, no responsibility. But they got you, and they got an image, and they say, take your guns. Well, America. Good morning, caller. Come in a question.
Good morning, Carol. Happy New Year.
Yeah, good morning. How are you?
You know, this thing about the guns, look at what happened when the Xerox incident a couple of years back with Brian Uesugi.
Mm-hmm.
Shut up all those people. Well, what did the politicians do here? Nothing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and how can the politician know what's going on in our society if they don't experience and stuff? You know, they're in the cushy office, drive the cushy cars. They don't go to the state hospital, see what's going on over there, what the people
mm-hmm.
there need and whatnot. They just pass bills and, oh, yeah, cut this. Give this and that, but they don't really know what's going on.
Yeah.
Dylan R. The shooting, I didn't know what the heck was going on until you told about it, you know. And why aren't they going down there investigating? You know, what's the problem here with these assault rifles that they have over there? These guys, it's frustrating when I hear this kind of stuff, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I just hope that, you know, next, this coming legislature, they get their act together. If they're not, I'm voting them out.
Yeah. I mean, you know, let's face it. A lot of the times, and having worked in law enforcement, been an enforcement officer, there are concerns. If you pull a van over, you don't want to walk up to a van where the windows are black, right?
Right.
So they came out and made a laws that you can have your windows tinted a certain way, right, and only a certain darkness, okay? Well, that logically, in law enforcement sense, you don't want to be approaching a van and with the windows are tinted, or the windows are so dark that the officer can't see in, but they can see as he's walking along and just shoot him or whatever, right? But on the other hand, what if the person was in a van that had no windows and only the windshield and the driver's and the rear windshield or the rear windows? So we act, right? And we go to the legislators, but then we also see this secrecy evolving within police departments.
Right.
And I would say I would entertain anything if they were open and put everything on the table and let us know. And we had a way, if we filed a complaint, it was acted upon. Uh-huh. I filed a complaint against Kirk Caldwell, as simple as this, using the city seal with the police chief here. Never heard from them. Now, mind you, it's no big deal, but it was, the law says you can't use the seal, but he did in his campaigns.
Right.
So they just dismissed me. So imagine the other citizens out there with greater issues. So unless we trust these people to deal with us fairly and deal with our issues and show up on time if there's someone kicking my door in, I don't want to hear what we were busy, then I would say leave me defenseless. Right?
Right.
Or leave me with something. What next? They'll ban all gasoline or ban, you know. So I think there's something the liberal movement, and I'm a liberal, But sometimes we can act irrational and just run out there because this is a chance to take it. And it's so disrespectful to those that have lost their lives because it shouldn't be used as a political football.
Right. We shouldn't go overboard on certain things.
Pardon me?
We shouldn't go overboard.
Yeah. Well, I would say to all of you listening out there, just know who it is that will be making the laws and enforcing the laws.
Right.
And if you can't trust them now, then you just blow, you know, you're just expending good things and trusting them. And I mean, we can't trust them with our money. So I'm not advocating that we need guns to go and attack the government. Don't do that. But what I just as a caution that we're getting the us and them government.
Right.
It's them and then it's us. Not the U.S., but okay, it's us.
Pleasure for you and hasta la vista.
All righty. Hey, you're fading out, but we're going to get off of here anyway. And
hey.
Thanks for calling.
Aloha.
Aloha. Again, maybe this isn't what you'd hear on the national talk radio, but this is real talk here. You get it straight. And again, don't hesitate to call if something is offensive and you don't like the portrayal of the JoJo and Bobo and Lolo. But the reality is JoJo Bobo exists, or Robbie and Jason exists. And until we all see, we're now no longer, the railroad tracks rarely exist now in most communities because we're blending. And we as a nation must understand we're still going to have the gated communities. And if you look at the legislators and those, they have security guards in gated communities. They're escorted. You go to state building. They have sheriffs. They go somewhere. They have the police. You go to the governor. They have the bodyguards and on. The president has security. And so you, on the other hand, you're at the mercy of JoJo, Lolo, and Popo. So we'll see you next week, and we'll get it right. And just hold your vote. Remember I told you, your vote is the most valuable thing that you have left. Not your gun, but your vote. They spend billions, and I remind you, to try to persuade you to use your vote. So keep that in mind. Why would anybody spend billions to influence your vote? Real powerful. More powerful than a gun. So we'll see you next week. Aloha.
for tuning in to the Carol Cox Show. Heard every Sunday morning from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. right here on K108. Tune in again next time for the Carol Cox Show right here at KWAI 101.